3. Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z. Today my special guest is Barry Yerk, drummer extraordinaire.
Thank you.
Barry, last time we played was at the River Cat in Darien, Connecticut. Stuart Starr couldn't make the gig, and he sent you as a sub.
Right, I remember that.
I love Stuart Starr. He is the only drummer I work with who, if he can't make a gig, gets me a sub that's outstanding.
Right. Well, Stuart's a great drummer.
Doesn't make me do any work. He's the only guy. So any drummers out there, be like Stuart.
Stuart's a great guy, great drummer, and he gets me a lot of work, you know, when he can't do stuff.
He's currently playing in this extraordinary wedding organization right now.
Is he? Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about you.
Okay.
So, we've worked together. I do classic rock, funk, really 60s, 70s, 80s. Do you play in some... I know you play every Thursday night at the Georgetown Saloon.
I do. We have an open mic, which actually our 60-year anniversary is coming up next month, May 17th. So we're having a big party for that. We've been doing it 6 years. The name of the band is The Twinkies. And we're just having so much fun doing that.
You want to shout out the names of the players in the band?
Well, we have Chance Brown on guitar. We have Tommy Schultz on guitar. Kenny Owens on bass, and T-Bone on keyboard, and myself on drums. That's the Twinkies. And mostly we play at the Georgetown Saloon on Thursday. We do some other gigs here and there, but most of the time we're just at the saloon.
I give you guys a lot of credit because you survived the hardest thing to survive in the business.
Which is what?
Changing of club ownership.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's not easy. It's still tough, you know, doing that. But, you know, the new owner is so sweet. She's Nancy. She's a sweet
lady. I thought there were two of them.
There was. One's gone.
One's gone.
Couldn't handle it. So we got one. And you know, she's made a few changes, but not a lot. You know, it's the same great place it's always been.
Well, I know before the change in ownership, you guys were you got two guitars, bass, and drums. Now you have two guitars, bass, drums, and keyboard.
Well, we added the keyboard a while ago. He's been with us for years now.
So nothing against T-Bone. I love him.
No, he's great. And the keyboard player keyboard in the band works out great. So, but you know, anybody can come sign up. We have a lot of young kids there with their bands and parents and kids playing this. And we have a lot of times Jose Feliciano shows up, who lives right around the corner, and his two kids. Johnny and Mikey, one of them plays bass. I think he's 11 years old, and the drummer, Johnny, is about 14. They're both great. So they have a family band.
I've seen Jose Feliciano at the club doing Born to Be Wild with his son on drums.
He's great. His kids are great. You know, they started at a young age. Jose had them playing as babies.
And I know your bass player, Kenny Owens, has done a number of gigs with me. Fantastic bass player.
Great bass player.
Used to be the regular bass player of Jose Feliciano.
Jose, yeah. And now he's just doing stuff around.
You ever get Keith Richards down there? Because I know he lives in there.
He's been in there. I've never seen him. I've never seen him. He hasn't come to one of the open mics yet.
Hasn't fallen out of the limo into the...
No, not yet.
So, you work with the Twinkies. I know that you play a lot of gigs at the casinos.
I did a lot. Not anymore. I used to play there with a couple different bands. Gary and the Mood Swingers was one of them.
which was a
blues swing band.
Wow, I thought it was like a female band or something.
that was fun up at the casino. And then I played there with Jay Stolman and his band up there a couple times. So. But I haven't been up there in a while.
So who else are you working with nowadays?
I'm freelancing around, playing with a lot of different people. I play with this band, a classic rock band called Voodoo Carnival. That's one of them. Hmm. And I just got a gig with these new people. They're a husband and wife team. Rick Lewis is his name. And whoever else calls me, I go out and play with.
For a while, you were playing with a band. Everybody lived in a house or something. I'm trying to remember the name. I used to go to their website. I've seen you with them.
Blue in the Face? I played with Blue in the Face for many, many years.
Talk about Blue in the Face.
Oh, that was a fun band. We did that for 10 years, and it was a blues band with Paul Gabriel, Paul Opalak, Roy Rodriguez, myself, and singing was Howard Eldridge, and then Dan Aldridge was after Howard. And
so Howard was one of the Blues Brothers.
Howard was, yeah, after Blue in the Face.
He was a blues brother. Paul
Opalak.
Opalak owns a studio that everybody seems to be recording at.
Right.
Gabriel went on to the Hoodoo Band.
Right. Now he's out of that band. That band broke up, and he's doing his own thing, the Paul Gabriel Band.
Oh.
And we just did a gig up at Toads. We opened up for Joe Bonamassa.
Wow.
It was last month, which was a fun gig.
Toads.
Yeah.
Big club.
Yeah, so that was Blue in the Face, but that was a while ago. And right now I'm just freelancing around teaching. I have a lot of students, and I have my drum business where I buy and sell and recondition drum sets, which I've been doing for many years.
So you buy them cheap, fix them up, and sell them dear?
I do. I have a drum shop out of my basement, and I do with drums what people do with antiques. I get them, I fix them up, and I do a lot of beginner stuff for kids. I get parents calling me with young kids who are looking for cheap drums because they're not sure if their kid's going to, you know, take to it or not, so they're just looking for something to, for the kid. And then I do a lot of other kind of stuff. My website is www.barrysdrumshop.com.
Say it again.
www.barrysdrumshop.com. BarrysDrumShop.com.
Now let me ask you this question. Is it cheaper to buy a used drum kit from you or to go into like Sam Ash and buy one of their drums made in Korea or Indonesia?
Well, you know, Sam Ash and those stores, they have a lot of cheap drums these days. When I was doing it years ago, there was no Sam Ash, and it was a lot different. But now they have a lot of cheap drums. But I have some good deals, and I get, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff and a lot of vintage stuff and a lot of midline stuff. Like Tama Swing Stars and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Do you specialize, like, in, I don't know, what are drums made out of? Are they still made out of wood?
They're made out of wood, and then there's a couple of drum heads and some hardware. That's pretty much it.
I mean, I remember skiing when I first started, their wooden skis. Then they went to aluminum. Now they're fiberglass. So drums are still wooden?
Most
they're not
drums,
fiberglass?
Most drums are, there are some fiberglass, but most, the majority of drums are wood. All it is a wood shell. There's different thicknesses and, you know, different kinds of wood. And the high-end sets are made out of this great wood, you know, with heavy-duty hardware and stuff. But it's all wood.
So do you teach out of your home or do you teach through a school? Or
out of my home. I have, in my basement studio in Norwalk, Connecticut, I have two drum sets facing each other. So I sit at one, and my student sits at another.
Cool.
And I have a big stereo set up, so they bring their CDs, their favorite CDs, and we play that. And I have a bunch of books. And we go over all kinds of hand exercises and all kinds of coordination exercises. And try to make it fun for the kids. Try to make it a musical thing where they can play music. And
you know, when I was growing up, I guess the drum grip was one hand like this and the other hand like this. What do you call that?
That's traditional.
Right.
That's traditional way that, which is still popular today. And then there's match grip, where you hold them both the same, which is also very popular.
That's, but they didn't have match grip when I was growing up.
No, a long time ago they didn't have. Well, when you were growing up, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but I grew up in the 50s and the 60s.
Well,
so.
I grew up in the 60s and 50s also. And when I took lessons as a kid, I learned that way. And then as I got older and played in bands and had to play harder, I switched to match grip because it got me around the drums easier.
You know, it's so funny. When I was learning tennis, you know, we had single hand backhand. God forbid you ever grab that thing with two hands, you'd get yelled at. Now that's the preferred style.
Right, right.
So I guess it's the same thing with drums. They've...
Right. You know, whatever's comfortable. There's a lot of different ways to hold sticks, and there's a lot of different ways to hit the drums, and you know, whatever's comfortable for the student and for the person who's playing.
Let me ask you this question. I recently did a gig with this drummer, great drummer, and after the gig, he was complaining. I guess he has tendonitis in his arms.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, well, you know, maybe there's a motion that you're not doing exactly right, which is causing the problem. And he said, no, just when I play hard, it happens.
Right.
What do you suffer from tendonitis?
I don't. I've never had problems like that, or never had back problems, because I learned early on technique, you know, how to hit the drum. I mean, I guess if you hit it too hard the wrong way, the vibration's going to go up your arm, and it's not going to be good for you. But, you know, I kind of learned the right way to do it, and I haven't had any problems at all.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I do many things. I'm a martial artist, a guitar player. Mm-hmm. And what I find is if something hurts, it's because your motion usually has something incorrect in it.
Right.
And if something hurts, it's your body's way of telling you you're not doing it right.
Right. You need to change something.
You need to change something. You can't play through it. If you play through it, you're going to be ending your career.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had an issue with posture at one point, where when I played the bass, instead of playing like this with my shoulders down, I'd, you know, get all excited and pump them up.
Right.
And after, like, you know, it doesn't hit you immediately, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden one day
it builds up.
You can't play anymore. It just explodes.
Right.
And it took me 6 months to relearn how to play with relaxed shoulders. And I like to move around when I play.
Mm.
So it was very hard to isolate that and just keep that dampened.
Right.
And I'm sure with drummers it's the same thing.
Yeah, when I was younger I kind of had neck, you know, a little neck thing going on. And then I went to a chiropractor and he told me, I was sitting over the drums, and he told me to sit down and set the drums up, you know, sit straight, set the drums up around you where it's comfortable. So I did that, and then after that I didn't have any.
So it's all about posture and position,
right,
in everything,
and technique. You know, learning the right technique, you know, you use your wrists and you don't have any problems with that. So
cool. Now so you're currently freelancing. Is there any group?
Yes.
That you're with the Twinkies.
I'm with the Twinkies. This past weekend I played with those people that I just told you about, that husband and wife team. Next weekend I'm playing with Paul Gabriel. We're doing a place at the Acoustic Cafe up in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Okay.
Doing a CD release party. The Paul Gabriel band just released a CD, so we're doing that. And Manny and the Mojomatics are opening, which is another good band. And then what else do I have coming up? Different people.
Growing up, who got you excited about the drums?
Well, the Beatles got me excited. I grew up when the Beatles were just coming up. When I saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show, I just got so excited about playing the drums. That's really what made me go out and you know, get interested in drums and get a drum set and start playing.
Ringo, people talk about Ringo as an example of. Ringo admits he never practiced.
Right, right.
He never practiced, but I guess he had a natural feel.
Ringo was great. You know, he still is great. He was the perfect drummer for the Beatles. You know, he wasn't fancy, but he came up with some great drum parts, and the drums on the Beatles records sound so good, even to this day.
Do you attribute that to Ringo, or do you attribute that to the production?
Both. I thought Ringo, you know, he knew what he was doing, but the production was great too. I mean, all those guys were great.
Speaking of Ringo, it's a funny thing. I work with a guy who's an Englishman. He's a little older than me, but he loves the Beatles. But his main thing now is like opera and classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a recent version of the newly re-digital mastered Yellow Submarine. I gave it to him for him to listen to.
Right.
And he was listening to Yellow Submarine, and he came back to me and he said, listen to the record. Do you hear how off-pitch Ringo is in his singing?
Hmm.
And I said, I didn't notice anything. You know, I've heard the song 1,000 times. I mean, when I grew up, I went to see the movie.
Right.
You know, I guess I never really... So I listened to it again, and sure enough, his vocals are very high in the mix, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little too high. They're not overdubbed. It's just him once singing. And sure enough, He's way off pitch.
Really? I never really listened
to him. He's way off pitch. But part of the problem is because he's high in the mix and he didn't double track it. And one of the reasons that he noticed is because I also lent him my Sgt. Pepper CD.
Mm-hmm.
And he listened to actually what it is on the new version of Yellow Submarine, they took off the orchestral music and they threw half of Sgt. Pepper's on. So they had a little help from my friends on it.
Right.
Now, a little help from my friends, he's double-tracked, triple-tracked, he's mixed with three-part harmony on the lead,
mm-hmm.
and he's way down in the mix. But also, my friend told me, Ringo was one of the first guys they used that pitch neutralizer on. He said that's when they invented a device that takes your stray notes and kind of moves them into the right place.
Interesting.
But
Beatles music today is as good as it was back then, you know. You can always find something new in the music. You just keep listening.
Well, I think they had a chemistry.
Absolutely.
Although it's weird, because I was listening to Let It Be the other day, because
mm-hmm.
I'm doing Let It Be now. And there's two versions, I guess, the single version and the album version.
Right.
But the album version, I think it's Paul McCartney playing drums on it.
Paul's a great drummer.
So, well, I don't think he did a great job on this song. No, because there's no steady pulse.
Okay.
But it's weird, because all of a sudden, that can't be Ringo. What's your favorite Beatle album?
I love Revolver. Remember Revolver? That was a great album.
Well, you know what? I recently bought the English version of Revolver. Yeah, because...
Were they singing in English?
No, you know, the Beatles released two sets of CDs. They released CDs for consumption in England
mm-hmm.
and American ones.
I didn't know that.
They put a lot more tracks on the English version. For example, there was an American album that my dad bought me called Yesterday and Today. That's not a real Beatles album. It's basically tracks that got left off the American version of albums.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I've done recently is bought all the English versions of the albums. But that's a great album.
That is a great album.
But for example, And Your Bird Can Sing was originally on Yesterday and Today in America, but it was on Revolver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite track on that album?
Name some tracks.
Here, There, and Everywhere.
That is a great, great one.
Mr. Roberts.
Keep going.
Taxman.
Taxman was great. You know your Beatles stuff.
Well, I've been listening to the album. Yeah. For some reason, I've gone through a Beatles thing recently. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Last year, I did a Stones thing where I basically got every Rolling Stones record.
Mm-hmm.
And some of their early records were pretty interesting.
The Stones?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a great band. They still are. You know?
I don't know if they have this... without the bass player, I don't know if they have the same chemistry.
You don't think?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
When you play... do you do a lot of Beatles and Stones?
You know what? I find that I can pull off the Lennon stuff because I have a low voice
mm-hmm.
and John had a low voice. So the stuff that I do is... now, of course, I'm blanking on it. But I do the Abbey Road song by John Lennon. You know what? I'm blanking
on it. I know which
one
you're talking about.
Right. But I also
yeah,
come all flat top.
Oh, okay.
Come together.
That's Come Together, right.
I do an old one, which wasn't even made famous by the Beatles. It was made famous by another. Here I Stand with Head in Hand.
Mm-hmm.
That
good song.
Right, but it was originally, the hit was with a cover band. And recently I've done Let It Be, but I have trouble singing Paul stuff.
Yeah, well.
I love Paul's stuff, but he's high. He's a better singer than
he is. I love the old stuff too, like She Loves You, you know, and I Want to Hold Your Hand, all that stuff. That was exciting stuff when it first came out.
Yeah, I remember it. So that kind of covers one of our questions, which is, what albums would you take to a desert island?
Right.
You would take some Beatle albums.
Absolutely. And you asked me about drummers. Buddy Rich was one of my favorite drummers. He was a jazz drummer. He's not around anymore, but when I was growing up, he was one of my favorite drummers.
A little secret. A friend of mine got very ill for a while. He's a drummer. And he found a way to copy all the Buddy Rich videos off of YouTube, and there's a lot of them.
Is there really? I have to check
that
out.
So he's got like a whole collection of Buddy Rich stuff. So you ought to check out YouTube. Just put in Buddy Rich.
I will do that.
And then figure out a way to rip it.
Buddy was amazing. I mean, my father used to take me to see him when I was a kid, and he used to play all over, all around here, and he was just so good. Just
your style, though. I mean, Buddy Rich was a little bit of an overplay.
He was a jazz guy who played all, you know, a lot of chops and a lot, and really fast. And you know, I'm more of a groove player. I play grooves and stuff like that.
Okay, so another group beside the Beatles.
Motown. I love all the Motown stuff.
Okay. So any particular drummer who played for Motown? Or?
I don't really know their names, I think there were a few different drummers on all that. Al Jackson might have been one of them. But all that Motown stuff and all that drumming feels so good to me.
You know, Marvin Gaye was one of their big drummers.
Marvin Gaye was a drummer?
I think he did My Girl.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he started as a drummer.
You know that for a fact?
Yes.
Marvin Gaye was a drummer?
Yes. Started as a drummer at Motown, and then he begged them to let him sing.
Oh, wow. Great.
Well, I feel that some of the best musicians started at the drums because they have such a great sense of rhythm.
Everybody should play drums. I think every musician should play drums so they have a sense of groove and rhythm and time, you know?
When I practice at home, I play my electric guitar without plugging it in. Mm-hmm. Whether it's hollow body or semi-hollow, and I play with a metronome.
That's a good thing.
I always play on 1 and 3. People are telling me, be a man, play on 2 and 4. But it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
It's hard with that metronome. So
I practice with a metronome, too, mostly every day.
Do you practice with it clicking on 1 and 3 or 2 and 4?
I have it on 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, okay. That's the easy way out.
That's the easy way out. Keeps me steady, though. Yeah, I have it coming through headphones, and I practice with them.
Do you record with a click track usually?
Not usually. No.
That's
sometimes.
Interesting. Most guys do.
Sometimes I do not. Usually, it's without a click track.
You doing any recording lately, or?
A little bit. I'm doing some demos for different people, but not a lot of that stuff. Mostly live stuff.
Okay. Second question, and I've actually added some new ones. We're gonna do a tribute night to you, Barry Urich. You've had a long, successful career, and we're going to bring you to the garden, rent out the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna let you do 2 or 3 sets with any musicians living or dead.
Mm.
Now, I know you play with everybody who plays in your current bands, but aside from your current people, who would you bring back?
Who would I have?
Yeah, who would you have?
Good question. Well, on guitars, well, I would be playing the drums, of course.
You wouldn't do a double drum thing? You wouldn't...
If I did a double drum thing, I think I would have Ringo, as we just talked about Ringo.
Maybe you'll get his next tour.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, that would be great. On guitars, I would have Eric Clapton, who I love, and probably Jimi Hendrix. Those would be my two guitar players.
Nice.
Yeah, that would be a good guitar.
Bass.
Bass would be Paul McCartney.
Wow.
I like the way he plays bass.
I think it fits with your style of drumming, too.
And keyboards would be Diana Krall. Have you heard of her? You know,
famous jazz singer,
yes.
Right? Married to Elvis Costello.
Yes. Yeah, and great piano player.
Yeah, I have a couple of... I have a duo album that she did with B.B. King.
Mm-hmm. So I would have her and Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Yeah, I like Billy Joel's piano playing. He's a great piano player.
You know, poor Billy, you know, he doesn't play much anymore. And last summer, locally, they had a Billy Joel tribute band, which is actually like some of Billy Joel band's players.
Uh-huh.
They had his horn player.
Oh, in the Billy Joel tribute band?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, it was awesome.
Good band?
Oh,
sure,
it was
great.
Killer band. They were so good, they blew out the electricity in the neighborhood. And how to end the show.
What was the name of the band, do you know?
I don't remember, but they were really, really good.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah. Anybody else you'd bring up?
I would have a horn section, and that would be probably the horn section from the band Chicago.
Really? Everybody always says Earth, Wind, and Fire or Tower of Power, but you want the Chicago horn.
I like Chicago. That was a great band. But you know, the two you just said were great, too, so they were all good. And then Up front, I think I would have Bonnie Raitt, because I like the way Bonnie Raitt sings. She would be one of my singers, and James Taylor would be the other one.
You know, thank you for doing your homework. Thank you for being prepared, having the whole thing. The Crossroads DVD that Eric Clapton put out 2 or 3 years ago, have you seen it?
I haven't, no.
He did a benefit for his drug and alcohol intervention center in Antigua. Mm-hmm. I think he did it in Texas. It was like a 2-day festival, and he brought all of his favorite guitar players and bands. And James Taylor was awesome.
Yeah.
Was killer. Not just because he was killer, but he had Joe Walsh playing guitar, who was awesome, and then he had like this Nashville dobro player who was unbelievable.
Mm.
But James is quality.
James is great. I mean, all those old songs are so good.
Question for you. We talked about this a little bit before. Most musicians who do what we do, which is a lot of cover work,
mm-hmm.
some are pickier than others. I have musicians and they'll complain at certain songs. We talked about this. Do you have any songs that you'd rather not play?
I would rather not play. You know, I play in so many different bands that and so much different kind of music. I don't really, you know, I don't mind playing.
I'll give you an example of what I get complaints on. Oh, no, I don't want to do Mustang Sally. Oh, no, I don't want to do Brown Eyed Girl.
Well, you know,
those are the two big ones I get.
I love those tunes. I love all that old stuff. And I love playing, you know, anything. Wipeout. I'll play Wipeout.
Wipeout is one. I mean, these are three tunes that I play because I guess maybe I'm from the era and people just respond.
Yeah.
For some reason, I think every performer has certain songs that they just can't screw up.
Mm-hmm.
I find that Wipeout goes over unbelievably.
Everybody loves Wipeout.
I don't know why. But I have drummers who refuse to play.
Yeah.
And to me, I remember when I was in like fourth grade on my, you know, just going.
Right. And you, yeah, if you're a drummer, you got to play Wipeout. You got to know how to play it, and you got to play it sometimes, because somebody will always be out there yelling, Wipeout!
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Well, that's good. So that's awesome that you're not a complainer.
I'm not a complainer. You know, if somebody calls out a song, I'll play it, you know.
Well, I love guys with great attitudes. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, Barry.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Roger.
Cool.
It was fun. We're done.